Yeah, thank you. Things in our class, Lord, all the goodness, Lord, is here. thank you for this nation, Lord. I pray for the many, many problems in my nation, Lord. I just pray that my leaders might turn to you, Lord, branches in you and guide me. Lord, today we're turning to you for guidance while we try to worship you. Our pastor's going to speak here shortly. Lord, guide him, direct him, make him strong for you today, Lord, as he speaks. Lord, thank you for that song. What wonderful message is in there, Lord. Help us to read it and understand it, Lord, and see what's going on. Especially, Lord, now that we're going to your word. Guide your efforts, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's see. We got an overhead thing going on here right now. Pay attention.
Let's see.
tonight, you're filming, we're going to get that. Upcoming events here, personal evangelism is going to be the 19th. Music meeting is going to be the 24th. Evangelism Day. It's the same thing. Evangelism Day is September 24th.
Yeah.
Women's Bible Study Adventure, September 26th. This is going to be at Autumn's Home at 6 o'clock. Wilton Bible Study is also on the 26th. And the church event down here at Fruitman Park is going to be on the 30th. Teacher training meeting is October 8th at 4:30. And we have a ladies' retreat on November 4th at Wall Park, so mark that. Pastor stop for the week. New brooms. New clean, but old brooms know the floor. Guys, you come over, take up one. This way. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to be here today, Lord. All showed up, Lord. The music that we've been singing, Lord, is just touching my heart, hope it is everybody else. Ask about speak, Lord, give me power and needs, and now we're going to take up an offering, Lord. Please help us understand that we can never outgive you, Lord, but maybe we can give a small portion back to you. Be the gift and give us, we do so in Jesus' name.
Tonight is movie night here at the church. Come and understand sometimes the movies can run up to an hour and a half. So again, you're free to come and go as you like. It is a great night to invite people to come and to have some spiritual interaction. We usually have a good turnout for those things. I want you to know that you're very welcome for that. That's what it's about. It's not anything. It's just come and watch a spiritual movie. So, then on your sheet here tonight, today, I want to clarify a couple things. Wilton Bible Study is not September 26th, but it is the 28th. Okay, that's a Thursday evening. Presbyterian Church based. Also revolving the church around the church picnic. I'm going to trouble want to see souls saved, because that's what God wants. And we're here once again. The church is His institution here. We'll hear more about that with you from time to time. But we're going to take a day, to focus specifically in our gathering about evangelism. Jason?
Yes, for all those interested, we are going to have children's church, but my wife is stepping out of the house, so she'll be here as soon as she can.
Okay. Well, all of you know that I like railroads, so I don't see anything against the railroads. There will be children's church, though. As after it gets here, we'll let you know about that, and someone will let me know. Now, what was I saying otherwise? It'd be dangerous to come to church, yeah. Evangelism, next week, the emphasis, and then we follow and we'll continue with this message for today. And the title of the message for those 2 days is Keeping the Church Straight in a Crooked Time. I'll tell you this right away, folks, the times have always been crooked. And so there is a reason that God gives us that I'll go into a bit this morning and we'll explore some of this. We all, and that's what I meant by it being dangerous to come to church, we all, as Bible-believing Christians, if you're a believer here today, we have some requirements that God has for us to stand for the right things, for the straight things, in a crooked time. Anyway, with that said, let's go to prayer this morning. We'll take some time here for personal prayer. It's time to turn our hearts to the Lord. Please pray for me this morning. I had no troubles in Sunday school. I'm having trouble spitting things out now. And sometimes that happens, but ask the Lord to intercede to help at this time as we go to prayer. Remember, there are many needs. I'll address a few of those as we go through. I do see Sandra coming in the door right now, so children, after we do the prayer, we'll come to that whenever she's ready. But God's throne is open 24/7, right? And so let's bring our praise and your need before His throne. Let's pray to the other side of the table. God, our Father, we come today. Once again, assembled here is a local church, called out once. Lord, only by your grace and mercy afforded to us through your Son, Jesus. Today, Lord, as we begin, we want to extol and lift high your name. In the name of God the Father, His Son, Jesus, and His third personality of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we hopefully, from our hearts, understand today that you indeed are Almighty God, and you are awesome. Thank you, Lord, for showing us, in part at least, who you are, and that you are a God who loves people. But Lord, there is more to your makeup than that. You are very complex, yet understandable to humans. You want to have fellowship with us. Thank you, Lord, that that's why humans were created. And Lord, may we have that time of fellowship today with you as we gather here in the gathering of the church, but also, Lord, as we fellowship one with another and interact in people's lives. Lord, may you cause all of us to, again, sharpen each other and to be a blessing to one another today as we are a blessing to you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins and rising again. We commemorate that today as a living Lord, as we see the living organism of the church gathered together on the first day of the week. Lord, help me and help us to put you as priority one. We know that today is the first day of the week. Lord, how often do we put you first in our lives? I'm only speaking for myself here today, Lord, that I need help in that. And I'm sure there are others that are doing that. So, Lord, thank you for the gathering today and for all that are coming. We pray today, Lord, that you would grow us and change us, that the word spoken, Lord, would challenge us. That we would leave here different than we came in. Now, Lord, we also know that you are interested in our needs. We thank you for what your servant Peter wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. We thank you, Lord, for that quiet time we just had with you. We thank you for speaking. pray also today for those that may not be at peace in their lives. Maybe they're struggling in a marriage, family relationships, or for those that are critically ill today. I pray that you'll help them in their time of need. Today, I especially pray for Mrs. Hubbard, Lord, that you would give her an extra measure of grace, Lord, that she struggles with infirmity and age. Now, Lord, we thank you that you are indeed our great physician. Whether it be spiritual ailments or physical ailments, you are interested in us, and you have the cure. So we thank you for that today, Lord, that that cure was effective in totality across the town. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless the time that we have together for. Having a little trouble getting things set for some reason right now, Lord. But I'm always troubled, and I need your help so badly at all times, Lord, through your might. I pray again, Lord, because I am weak and you are strong. You'll see me through this today. And that this time that we share together will be pleasing and profitable to all. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, followers and friends of the Savior, by the way, are we ready for church? I see a signal back there. Children, you may go down to church. I was going to go to Dory, gave me a pretty good there. Good to see you today, Dory. How do you pick on you? Good day. You're in a perfect spot right there. Folks, with each passing day, and let me just say this before I start the video. Nothing has changed. Don't fall into this trap that things are, even though they were bad today, they've been bad before. And they've always been bad, ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, folks. You know, we're always going to be working in a mess. So don't, and I'm preaching these messages to myself, don't get discouraged about things today. Don't get discouraged about the church. Praise God, we have a nice group of people out this morning. You know, my hope is that we'll see improvement in our building program. Wouldn't that be great? They have this place packed out and be moving in that direction. But praise God, it's always been difficult for God's people. But I'll also throw in another D word. It's doable through Jesus. Right? So we are not here discouraged. We're not here ready to fold up or give up. We're here to what? We're here to occupy and thrive until Jesus returns. That's what he wants us to do. So let's do it. But with each passing day, folks, evidence is plain as the nose on your face of the increasing collapse, corruption, chaos, and capitulation as the world as a whole raises its fist to God in protest against it. This is not the first time this has happened. But let me assure you, this is a dynamic time. There's only one exception that I can think that we would find in Scripture of the dynamics of the age we live in. And I'm going to tell you what I believe that could have been, and that was in the days of Noah preceding the flood. We don't know for sure what the population might have been at that time, but we know this, that the population under the eight souls was corrupt. Correct? So we know that even at the point we are today, we are not to that point yet. But there is a dynamic in the day we live because, folks, there is 7 to 8 billion people living on this planet. In modern recorded history, there has never been a population of that scale on our planet. So, thusly, the things that are going on today are very dynamic, and I believe they are unique, although not unusual, what has always gone on before. But unique in the sense of the day we live and the dynamics of the amount of people. Do you agree with that this morning? Do you think I'm off base? But every time is crucial. And everything that happens is critical in God's program. And we need to always understand that. He is right on time, all the time. And He is working His plan. And He's working it right before our very eyes. today, other than possibly, as I said, a brief flood era of Noah, where we see the sheer numbers of people and the depth of the apostasy, which means falling away from the truth. That's what that word means. As we will see this morning, the warning of these times has been around for nearly 1900 years, give or take. And people that are blind can't see it. Most people are under the same thing that Peter tells us. Say, nothing's changed. I told you that, but I meant a different thing. Things go on as they were, but God is unwinding his gates. And when they're blind, they cannot see until they come under the control of the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes. Well, the key today, though, is the necessity of keeping Christ's church straight in a crooked day. Folks, that must be our goal at Crooked Baptist Church. It must be our goal to stay grounded and stand firmly on the Word of God. Now, will the Word of God be a source of debate and how that goes? Yes, but folks, it needs to always be a healthy debate within the church, within the Bible-believing church. A debate that is fine to get involved in, but not a debate that tears us up, a debate that keeps us strong. There are critical things in the Scriptures we cannot compromise on. And folks, the things that are not delineated clearly in Scripture are preferences, and we have to be careful about that because there is liberty in the body of Christ. But the key doctrines have to be maintained. Look at that. If I ever get to it this morning, my introductions are way too long. But anyway, we must stand. And folks, I want to tell us today, this is going to be an increasingly challenging task because you and I both know it. There are fewer people, in most cases, that are willing or able to step up in our current day. I'm going to speak briefly to men first, but if you're a Christian man here today, the goal that you should have in your life is to serve Jesus Christ and to be, as best as you can, a leader in your home and in the church. Okay? And Christian women, you need to be a complement to that and under the authority of what God has given to you to do, and you're part of this. But folks, we must stand for the truth, even in a day when the truth is under vicious attack. We must, because what will happen to succeeding generations if no one stands, if the Lord tarries? He wants us to stand. But we are under attack, folks, and the church must recognize this, and we must trust God and move forward with Him. We've got to step up. Anyway, I pray this message will embolden Christ's followers to get up and to be relevant to the charge that Jesus gives us. What's a charge? No, Jesus does not charge us for anything in that sense. A charge is a dynamic challenge that should be fulfilled. A dynamic challenge that needs to be fulfilled. And Jesus gives us those types of charges. Today we're going to look at a charge he gave to the Apostle Paul to give to Timothy. Okay? And there are five charges that you can explore them, but today we're going to look at number two, and it has to do with this very thing about standing and maintaining the truth in a crooked and perverse time. Keeping the church straight in a crooked and perverse time. So, we must do that. Or maybe even today, though, we have to understand that there are maybe some in our midst that have never trusted Christ. I don't know all of you intimately. I cannot judge you, but you know the word of God with Jesus today. I just want to give this one little admonition. Jesus is ready for you today. He's waiting for you. And folks, understand that what we're dealing with when we think about the church is what Jesus purchased with his own money. Anyway, and he purchased it because he loves you and me. So first thing is today, the first little thing that we want to investigate is not only the prediction of, but the reality of the day that we operate in. There's nothing worse, again, than falling into any certain situation when you don't know the facts of what's going on. So we're going to explore that first. Come back the next time we meet, or how we've already did, and we'll look for the solutions, right? Because God gives solutions. He gives the directives of how we're to navigate these type of times and how it will be successful and pleasing to Him. So if you have your scriptures with you this morning, I'd like to go first to the book of 1 Timothy. is the second charge that the Lord gave to Paul here that was to be passed down to Timothy. And this is the basis of what I'm trying to get at this morning. And again, a charge is a challenge that needs to be fulfilled. So Paul writes this to Timothy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I believe it applies to all of us today. That Timothy was a young pastor. He was Paul's protege. And let me just say this, the pastor does set the tenor in the church for the direction it will go. And I'm very well aware of that here at Fruitland in all these years. I don't want to see it do anything but stay straight. But you have to work with people. And you have to be able to communicate that, this and us, to see what needs done. But we're going to let the word speak today rather than me. So here's what Paul wrote. These things write I unto thee, to Timothy, hoping to come up, or to come unto thee shortly. By the way, Paul wished that he could have more interaction with Timothy. I wish I could have more interaction with you. Maybe you do me, I don't know. But we need to talk once in a while. Okay, maybe not for, you know, lengthy 8 or 10 hours. But that's okay, too. I tried to adjust that, by the way. I've been, you know, my wife has told me, stop talking so much. And, you know, I thought even today, this would be a good day for a silent message, like I've said before. But I'm sure there wouldn't be silence for long if I did that. But, Paul says, if I tarry long, in other words, if I don't get to you, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. What Paul's saying there is not that Timothy would have bad behavior that he needed to take it out because he was noisy or something like that. By the way, bring your kids to church. Bring the baby's blood dry. Drowns out what you hear from me. This is, we're real people here. Bring them. Jesus wanted the children around him, didn't he? He got a little grouchy even with the people who tried to stop him. Yeah. But here's what this boils down to. He's telling Timothy, I want you to know from God how to handle yourself because the church is important to Jesus. The church is important to Jesus. How you ought to behave thyself in the house of God, and here's the reason why, which is the church of the living God. By the way, a church must be alive. But it can't be fake living. It has to be genuine living. Amen. I shouldn't be pointing either of them. But notice this, the last phrase of that verse. The pillar and ground of the church. The church is to be maintained as the truth source. By the way, there's a fancy word for that called epistemology. But the church is ordered by God to be the truth source through all the ages of the church age. That's the kind of a charge we have on us. When everything else fails, when human government goes awry, when your family situation goes awry, when the schools go awry, when society caves in, when everything you can list here that we see even going on around us today, the church must what? It must get it right. But sadly, much of what we call the church today, which may not even be the church, has it wrong. Or at least in part. But we don't want to get high-minded. We just want to stay diligent and see God use us in the way he wants. But the point of this is, we need to know where we stand, and we need to continue to stand. Because if we don't stand, excuse my grammar, ain't nobody going to stand. Right? And And what we're going to find here is that Paul wrote this to Timothy because he says, Timothy, there's problems in the church. And he says, and by the way, there's always going to be problems in the church. You may not believe this, but in the 20 years I've been here as a pastor, this place is on my mind a lot. Because it's a problem. So am I. So are you. That's how it is. We're broken. But there is a special reference given here because even though this was written in the early days of the church, Paul's going to tell Timothy, he's going to say this, he says, in the later times, or as time moves on, there's going to be a persuasion for this to happen. And folks, I believe what we're going to look at today in both the texts to build the basis for the solution week after next is that, once again, we're in those days. So let's look. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. When we see that word expressly, what do we get here? It means poignantly. That's a word I'll pick out of the grammar cloud. Specifically, that there is going to be a time that is even more dynamic than others, and it's those latter days that these things are going to be very prevalent in our culture, in our world. By the way, what's going on today is not just a phenomenon in the United States. It's a phenomenon in the whole world. And you can look at Europe and you can predate the things we see happening in America and in the Western culture. They happened 20 or 30 years ago there before they started here. Right? So this is not something that just popped on the scene. Let's go to the text. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now what are we talking about? He's talking about the Orthodox Christian faith. Bible believing. What we see today in what's called the church in many cases is what? An amalgamation of the ways of man commingled with the ways of God in part. Okay? It's what I call integrationism. It's not leaving it fully on God's page, but it's what? Incorporating the thoughts of man and the ways of man into that. And folks, without going into graphic detail, our whole society today in our world is filled with that. People are not going to the great physician for help first. They're going to the physician, literally and figuratively, of man. And folks, the religion that we have today, and whenever you see anything that has an ism as a suffix on it, think religion, is the religion of humanism. And the evidence of that is when you face a potential problem in your life or a problem in our society, where do you go for the solution? And you can admit it, many of us in this room. Sometimes we go to the human potential there rather than the spiritual. That's pervasive in our day. He speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, and they will give heed or give credence to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That seducing spirits means deceptive spirits and truths that come from the deceiver, Satan. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Truth does not come from Satan. Satan does speak some truth, but it is always mixed with what? Deceived by it because what? It's his nature. He is the father of lies. And always remember this with Satan. He deceives himself before he deceives you. Folks, that's the pervasive situation we find ourselves in our current era, I believe this. Paul goes on to tell Timothy here. He says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. In other words, many of the things that are designed in the humanist religion that we see today work to undermine the biblical Christian faith. If you miss one time, it'll be easier to miss the second time. If you miss the third time, it'll be easier to miss the fourth. And sooner than later, you'll find what? Go at all. God wants us here, but he really does. But that's what happens. He says these people are untouchable by the Holy Spirit. And that's the message that is in the pervasive evidence of the day that we live in. Now the next one. I was visiting with someone the other night in marriage. At Greg's wedding. But, you know, today marriage is not popular in our culture. But it is a Christian. It is a Jesus thing. It is a God thing. He designed it. It's his will. It came from him, by the way, folks. It isn't something that the courthouse invented. I mean, I can understand a case for that. You know, why do they want to document all these things? But we do need to obey the law, unless it goes contrary to Scripture, obviously. But you know what? It isn't something government invented. It's what God invented. But folks, today, I don't receive any weddings. Because people, and so there, I would, that word forbidding, I would say discouraging. That's going to be the prevailing thing of the age. Another thing, and these are general things here, but the next thing here is commanded you abstain from meats which God hath created and receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Am I here to pick on vegetarians or anything like that today? No, I think vegetables are a better thing. That's how it started out in the garden, right? But I'm not going to think that we ought to make a religion about that, a legalistic thing of what people eat or drink or what they do. Okay? Unless, of course, it's harmful. We know that, but the point of it is that's going to be the spirit of the age. There's going to be a lot of that type of thing going on in the late days. A lot of isms. Religions. Paul lays this out, though. And of course, Paul gives a lot of things about it. If you want to get into dietary things and so forth, but he says basically one thing that I believe is true that I do not practice in my life. May you forgive me, Lord. He says all things in moderation. John, when the second plate of mashed potatoes is passed, pass it on. Now, I have someone I can blame about some of that here in the front row. She's been a really good cook. Some people said, can you ever have a bad meal? What? Early in our marriage. We threw it out the back door. I don't know if the remains are still on. Tamale pie, if I remember that. She said it was more good. Mac and cheese, right? Maybe you want to confess the truth about the mac and cheese. He's telling Timothy, these kind of things and more that I'm going to get to here are going to be the prevailing way it'll be in the later days. They'll always be to an extent, but it'll be more than ever. And Paul's just saying, don't violate what God has said is good, because it is sanctified or consecrated by the word of God and by prayer. Now, let's go over to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. We're down to about 6 minutes. Now, we'll not get through all this today, but have you at least got some food for thought about where we're at today? And where we've always been to a certain degree in our world. It's fallen and broken. Okay? But now Paul goes on and writes more to Timothy, and here's what he says in 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, Timothy, this know also, and I believe again this is inspired of God. God directed Paul, again, what was to be written here. This say this many times from the pulpit and outside of the pulpit, I've never bragged about my children, because the day you brag is the day they'll let you down. Stay humble. The only bragging you ought to do is to brag to the Lord. Because he'll never let us down. Boasters, proud. Pride. Pride is the basis of all sin. I'm going to preach on that this morning. You don't agree?